And to continue on with our post-race media availability for the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400, and we're joined by our winning crew chief, Alan Gustafson. Number nine, Hooters Chevrolet, Hendrick Motorsports, back in victory lane for the first time since 2022. How sweet was this victory today?
Yeah, it's super sweet. So, I've been a little bit longer than we would like to see it. But, in Texas, of all places, this is one of the tracks that has been tough on us over the years. So super proud of the perseverance and the day and the effort. And, yeah, the team deserves it. They've done a really great job, and super proud of them.
Okay, we'll open the floor for questions. We'll start with Lee. Go to Jeff.
Congratulations, Alan. Thanks, Lee. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com. I was surprised when TV said that this was his first top five with the next-gen car at an intermediate track.
Me too. Crazy stat. Never would have thought.
Yeah. But, you know, to get the first win here, is this the catalyst you guys have kind of been looking for? You've been gaining. You've had three top tens, two top fives in the last 2 weeks. But, I mean, this just really kind of puts you all over the top.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've kind of got to be there, and you've got to take some, you know, swings at it, some cracks at it. And I think, Richmond maybe didn't show up to everybody, you know, watching the race, but I thought we had a really good shot at that race. And it just kind of didn't go our way at the end. And then Martinsville, obviously, you know, we're 20 or 30 laps away from closing the deal on that one. So we knew we were close. And then, to come here, I think we had a lot of momentum as a team and a lot of belief and just a lot of positive energy, a lot of good things going on. But, you kind of see that intersecting with the track that traditionally is not a great track for us. So I think everybody just focused on the positive and what we could potentially do here and not really, how difficult it's been in the past. And, overcame it. So super proud of that. Thanks.
Go to Jeff, then the Bob, then the Cameron.
Every time there's a car change, it always seems like there's some drivers who benefit from it, some drivers who have a harder time getting their arms around it. And Chase has said, this has taken him, there's been an adjustment period for him. How have you tried to keep him positive? How have you tried to keep him, motivated in terms of, trying to find that, that edge for himself or that feel for himself that he needs and not, losing hope or getting too discouraged about this?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think different car models, different, tire configs, tracks, et cetera, suit certain people's natural tendencies of driving and better than others. I don't really know that this car doesn't suit him, but maybe just not as well as the old car and the options that we had with it. So, the drought's been long, certainly, but I don't know. I don't keep track, but he's won – five or six races in this car now. I mean, what do we win? Five, I guess, so it's not like he hasn't been successful. I mean, there's a lot of good drivers who would have a good career with six wins, right? So I just think that the old car, we were really good and really in position to win a lot. And so we just have to get back to that standard. And really in 2022, we had it. And lost a little bit. But to answer your question, I'm kind of rambling on. I think you just got to trust the process, trust in each other, focus on improving, not getting caught up in what you don't have, focus on what you do have. We have everything we need to win with Mr. Hendrick and how he supports us and everybody at Hendrick Motorsports supports us. We have a great race team. This is a really good race team, great pit crew. And we just knew, you just had to stay committed to that and each other. And that's all I do. It's not anything special besides just being super, super stubborn and resilient.
Go next to Bob, then to Cameron, then to Jonathan, then to Chance.
Like you should be, or maybe you're not back to where you feel like you should be?
Well, that's a tough question for me to answer because I don't feel like we haven't been where we should have been, right? I don't feel like we go to the racetrack and just struggle and don't run well. I mean, we have run well, and we've run well all season. I really can't think of a race this year that we weren't in contention to compete, at least for a top 10, most of them top five. So I don't, you know, I think our average run position is fourth maybe before this race, something like that throughout the season. So I guess what standards are you setting? I mean, our average run position throughout the year is fourth. So I mean, that's a pretty elite position to be in. So I just feel like for us to get back to winning consistently the way we want to, yeah, we just had to find, like, it's like anything else, right? I mean, I think we're 90% of the way there, but that last 10% is super hard to get. To get to the level that the 24's been at, you know, recently, and the 11's been at. So, yeah, we just need a little bit more, but I don't feel like we've been failing, so to speak.
Next to Cameron, then to Jonathan.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. Alan, how has Chase, I wouldn't say changed mentally, but evolved mentally over this last year and a half, where, you know, he's amid the winless streak, you know, having to recover from the injury, but then also watching his fellow teammates, you know, keep on winning and winning, and it's not him. Just how has he evolved mentally, and how do you help him as sort of a coach and mentor as well?
I just think, you know, I mean, in this forum, everything's looked at through the, you know, lens of racing and performance and the sport of racing. There's life that goes on outside of this for everybody that most people don't take into consideration. And, you know, and he's a human being just like everybody else. He has his life going on. He has different things. He has trials and tribulations that he has to work through. And, yeah, you know, being out with an injury and then you know, having to go through all of that and, yeah, maybe not performing to some people's expectations. You know, it's not something that I believe. I feel like he's performed really well. And I think it's just, yeah, sometimes you can get in a little bit of a hole and you just have to fight, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing I think that I'm most proud of him and the team for, is just continue to fight through it and make it happen. And you learn, you know, it's super cliche and cheesy, but you just never give up. And you learn that if you don't give up, you know, eventually things are going to turn around. And I think that's probably going to be the biggest lesson that he's going to take out of this. I mean, he's a young kid. And, yeah, he's going to learn, like, you know, you just got to grind through it. You're not, it's not always going to be, you know, you're not always going to, you know, William Byron, as much as I love him and Rudy, they're not always going to be, you know, at the top, right? It just is not going to happen. Everybody's gone through ebbs and flows. Every, you know, whoever you want to call successful, Truex, Denny, Kyle Busch, you know, like, everybody has those, you know, ups and downs, and I think just having the strength to battle through it and persevere is key, and he's done that.
Jonathan
Field, the Racing Experts. I know you worked with other great drivers throughout the years, Mark Martin, Jeff Gordon, when they've been in the midst of, you know, longer winless streaks. How did, you know, with Chase, how did this compare to those situations, like having, like, the pressure of getting him back to victory lane? How did this compare?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we won, if memory serves me correct, when we won the second race with Jeff or something like that at Phoenix. So there wasn't really like a long build up to, oh, geez, you know, when we're going to win. It happened, I think, at Phoenix, the second race. I think it was at the time or somewhere near there. And then we won with Mark at Phoenix, too. So, but to be honest, and I don't want to downplay it, but I don't, like, I'm not like, oh, geez, we're on a losing streak. Like, that never comes into my mind. Like, I never think about that at all. I don't think about, hey, it's been, you know, there's no clock on my desk that says it's been 10,225 days and a billion hours since you last won. You know, I just focus on doing the best I can and performing and getting the team ready to go, and everybody does the same thing. So I think it's more of a, you know, really tangible thing to you guys than it is to me, to be honest.
Go next to Chance and then to Elliot.
Alan Gustin, Chance Lancaster, Amron Motorsports Power Hour. The strategy that came out today with you guys, you know, you're kind of buried in the field with the qualifying effort, and you stayed out and got the caution you needed at the right time. What other strategy were you guys playing, as we had several cautions there back to back to back? Really close on fuel there at the end. What was that looking like with you guys?
Yeah, I think the strategy was super solid today. We knew we'd qualified on the back. It's just hard to pass here. We knew we had a good car, so we had to get, you know, aggressive, get some track position, and we were really literally going to pit right when that caution came out. So we got a break there. We knew that was going to give us a few options if we ran long, and I liked, even if we didn't catch a caution, having some options. And I think the rest of it was really, really good. We probably missed one call where we pit. I don't remember where we're running, but, you know, fifth or sixth. And then we pit, yeah, it's probably 25 that go to the stage two, I guess it was, and got buried a little deeper than I liked to seen it. You know, we got, you know, kind of back in that 12th, 13th spot. But, you know, it ultimately worked out. But if I was going to critique it, honestly, I'd say that was probably not the right decision. I think the 12 and a few others stayed out there. That would probably been the better way to go.
Next to Elliot.
Elliot Stern, Sports Talk 805. Two things at the end with all those restarts. And the second place guys ended up going up into the wall. But before that happened, were you worried or concerned or nervous that, you know, the tires might be falling off or we might be running out of fuel? And the second thing is you now have three teams in the playoffs. Does that give you a chance to tinker and fiddle with things to see if you can become even stronger and more dominant? Just so early in the season, you have plenty of time to play around with things.
One, let me see if I can hit all these for you. Tires, not really, because I think most of the guys we were around were on really pretty even tires besides the six. And the six had made a pretty big press to us, but he seemed to kind of stall out. And I felt like that, you know, cool down tires, restart, we were going to be in reasonable position to him. Even though they had a great race and had a really good car, I just felt like, yeah, we kind of weathered the storm there. Fortunately, when that caution, before that, yeah, he was coming really good with tires. I think he was, you know, he probably didn't want to see that caution if I had to guess. Then the fuel thing, yeah, it was, we were getting down there. I think, you know, we had that green-white checker that we finished on and maybe one more if it would have happened quickly, but not much. So certainly pushing into longer and longer and getting short on fuel. And then, yeah, I mean, we're kind of tinkering, you know, to use your word, we're kind of tinkering every day regardless. You know, wins are always a good thing. Wins give you some leverage and some opportunity, but I don't really think it changes anything that we do. You know, we're going to be doing everything we can at HMS to be the best we can be, regardless if we have, you know, 10 wins or no wins. So, I you know, you always love to win, and it's a great thing, but I don't really think it changes our perspective much.
Do we have any additional questions for Alan? Alan, congratulations. Oh, we got Bob here. Don't throw the mic this time, Bob. Yeah.
Bob, you look a little frazzled. You okay there, buddy?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. All right, good. I mean, you know, you won, so it's kind of exciting, right?
I'm flattered.
I'm curious. Did you have to do extra work to get Chase comfortable or to thrive in this car, in the next-gen car? I mean, has it been a plod, or is the work just the same, whether things are going good or going bad?
No, look, I mean, there's times when things are flowing really well and come easier than others, certainly. And I think there's times when you have a great feel for what it takes to perform and it takes to, to run up front and win. That makes things a little easier. I don't know that you work any less hard, but it just, yeah, things just seem to click a bit easier. And then when, yeah, you're not running as good as you want to. And really for us, I think more than this year, it would be this track specifically. This hasn't been historically a great track for us. So, you'll emphasize things and it's a bit more, a little bit, I don't know how to say, like, you're just kind of grinding a bit more. You're just trying to look for every little potential solution or potential advantage. But yeah, I mean, I just get them, like, you're talking about Chase, like, he can't drive this car. I mean, he really can, and he does really good. I don't, you know, the winless streak is, I can think of certainly, you know, one untimely caution. There was really a couple times, you know, Charlotte, I feel like it was, we had by far the best car at the Roval, right? And the caution comes out and different things happen and, you know, obviously out of the car. But when you're struggling, yeah, you just kind of have to grind it out a bit more.
It
Yeah, I guess my point is, like, it's not – if you look at his body of work in this car, regular season champion the first – right, the first year of the car, five wins to the playoffs, runs two races, Daytona 500, which we all know is a crapshoot, finishes second at Fontana, which, you know, was pretty good, has a snowboarding accident, breaks his leg – you know, has maybe not as good a year as we would have liked, but still I think the time he was in that car, his average finish was like third or fourth best of anybody on the track, right? And now we start this season with this car. Do anybody know where we're at in points now? Have we moved up? Are we fourth in points, one win, three top fives, average run position before we started was fourth, like, what am I missing? what is he not doing that should be doing? Like, I think he's pretty good.
I think it's partly based off of his confidence, too. Like, when he comes
in, I got you. Okay.
You know, like, hey, I don't have the feel. I don't feel, you know what I'm saying?
I understood.
And Byron and Larson have won a lot of races.
Well, I think we've won the same as Kyle this year, right? Thank you.
And with that lesson in mathematics,
thank you, guys.
Yes,
be a little nicer to Chase, Bob, when he comes in here. Come on now, we're
trying to keep him on Talladega. High.